Please listen carefully.
Hi again. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and right next to me I have little Elizabeth, who's currently blowing raspberries at me, so I'm sure you'll hear her in the background of this introduction. So today's episode is a real treat. We chat with my friend Paige. We initially crossed paths because she does public relations, and she reached out to me about connecting with some health and wellness people. And from there, she later on contacted me and she was, hey, I am, you know, just on this amazing spiritual journey and I would love to share my story. So then upon talking to her a little bit more, I was like, yes, I just feel so inspired by her. We talk about a lot of synchronicities that we have. She just went through yoga teacher training and that's been on my mind a lot. She also talks about the book Untethered Soul, which I believe in the rule of three. So when I see something three times, I know that I'm meant to see it. I'm meant to take note of it. Let me tell you, Untethered Soul has crossed my path about 100 times. And I finally ordered it and I'm going to read it. But it's just a lot of little things here and there that keep popping up. And it was just really interesting to get Paige's perspective. And she shares this super vulnerable journey of art. So without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Hi, Paige. Welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, Eric. I'm so excited to be here and talk with you.
I'm excited to have you on. Typically, I'm emailing you with information for podcast guests for your clients. So it's really fun to have you on the other end of it now.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited to kind of talk from this side as well.
So why don't you share with everyone what you currently do from the public relations perspective?
Yeah, so I started out in PR. That's what my career was in. I worked in D.C. and then Milwaukee, where I'm from. And I eventually transitioned into helping smaller wellness companies with their messaging and getting media opportunities to really get their message out there and connect with their audience in different ways. So I had been working at an agency and just felt really called to do something different and have more space to work on my own messaging and work with people that were really aligned with me. So yeah, now I work with different wellness companies and spirituality and conscious parenting, like you name it. I really help branch out their message and work with them, and it's just been really rewarding. And it's a really cool way to learn about different healing modalities and spiritual aspects that I've incorporated into my own life. So it's just been a really cool journey.
I definitely have to agree with you. I feel like when I started out blogging, you know, here I am talking about my journey, but you actually cross paths with so many different people with different experiences and, you know, specialties, and they open your eyes to just so much more. So that's really cool that you've had that experience as well.
Right. I had no idea how many people were going to influence the way that I wrote, the things that I wrote about, and the way that I felt about topics that I was already kind of exploring. And as soon as I kind of put that out there, that that's what I was interested in and that's what I wanted to spend my life doing, doors just opened. And, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but I've just learned so much and have been able to help so many more people with different kind of capacities from all this writing that I've been doing and helping out with. So, yeah, it's been really cool.
So you've recently, I think it's recent, maybe not, you've been making a little bit of a transition and kind of working off of what you're already doing. Do you want to share with us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. So I originally moved on from my corporate job to be able to, again, write about things that I, and work with people that I really agreed with and wanted to help promote their message. But I also wanted to work on my own, which primarily revolved around like anxiety, higher consciousness, healing from trauma, and also eating disorders and recovery in a different energetic sense. So I write a lot about that. I write my own website. I write various publications. And I really just try to help people see it from a different perspective and look deeper than a lot of the ways that we're told to look at modern mental health issues. So that's kind of what I'm working on now. And I just love writing about it. I love talking about it because I know that I can help. And I've had some really similar stories in those areas as a lot of people.
So what has really inspired you to kind of make that shift? You know, is there something from like in your background or your previous experience that have, you know, really urged you to take that direction?
Yeah, it's been a hell of a journey, put it that way. Because, I mean, so I grew up, I started struggling with dieting and weight stuff when I was 10. So it started really early and just had a lot of really bad control issues, anxiety issues growing up. So, and I kind of carried that with me through college, had a really rough 4 years and looked really great from the outside, but inside just like the anxiety and the pressure of what I thought I needed to look like and who I needed to be just were really tough. So as I progressed through my career, that still kind of seeped in. So I was doing things that I was expected to do, not things that I really loved, which a lot of people fresh out of college do, but it just was kind of stifling my spirit. So over the past few years, I got really sick about like a year and a half ago when I was in D.C., and I had to move home. I got so sick and I just was dealing with really bad anxiety and depression and it was a nightmare. And so from then I had to really find different ways to heal. And I had always been really interested in different healing modalities that were natural and ways that I could do it in a more holistic way. But then I kind of gradually started to attract more things that just would really change my life. So getting sick a year and a half ago now really changed the trajectory of where I was going. So instead of being like the type A person that I thought I was, that I thought I needed to be successful by society's standards, just started to change. So I found yoga, and eventually after doing yoga, I just decided randomly to sign up for teacher training, and that really kind of solidified the new direction that I was going. So yeah, I started teaching yoga, helping other people who were aligned with what I wanted to do. And I also started doing kundalini, meditating more, and just things started to kind of change pretty quick.
So I didn't actually know that you were doing yoga teacher training, and literally every person that I talk to you that has gone through that says that they step out on the other side, like, I don't want to say a totally different person, but like with a really fresh new perspective. So what has been your experience so far with your yoga teacher training?
Yeah, I graduated actually in May, so I've been teaching for a few months, but so I started in January. It went from January through May, and my friend had told me before I started, like, it's just like 6 months of therapy, and I was like, okay, like, we'll see, but it totally was, and it totally just shifted my paradigm around who I was, and because yoga is so much more of an individual, like, going inside practice, and I had a pretty bad, like, addiction to exercise for a long time, like, in high school and then early college. And it just was a totally new paradigm for me to be able to exercise, but in a way that felt good and I wasn't punishing myself. So that mindset in and of itself in the yoga practice, carrying it into my everyday life and eventually into my career, just changed everything. It was radical. It's like, maybe I don't have to push and kill myself to do all these things. Like, maybe I can just allow it and do the best I can. And it's just influenced so much and so many of the things that I've been working on, as well as my relationships with other people. So definitely a transformative experience, to say the least.
I love that. Oh my gosh, what you said really resonated with me about how you're just supposed to, you know, do what you're urged to do what you're supposed to do instead of doing a million things and, you know, be really good at that one thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it doesn't have to be that hard.
Right.
You know, I just think that instead of pushing and being miserable trying to fit into this box that I didn't even know that I had painted, you know, a lot of people don't realize the conditioning and the things that we care about, they're really just parameters for what you can do with your life. And I just was over it. Like, I do not feel like suffering anymore. I don't want to be a victim to what I think I need to look like and what I need to be to please others. And I know that I can find a way to do something else. And as soon as you kind of put that out there vibrationally, you're like, this is what I want to do now, things will start to change. And every day that you show up like that is a day that new doors open. And it may take time. Mine took a long time, and it's still happening. But it's just so much more rewarding to be doing things that are aligned with my soul as opposed to my ego. You know, instead of the person who wants to strive and to get all these titles and stuff, it's the soul who came here to serve and to help and to be happy while doing so. And coming back to that person has been nothing short of miraculous.
I love that. That's so beautiful. I feel like I want to replay that again and just listen to that again because that was beautiful. So I love how you kind of touched on, you know, just living in that high vibration and, you know, all comes back to energy and how we are all energy. And so how do you relay that back to your current work?
Yeah, so a lot of the stuff I do, or writing that I do, is around anxiety and eating disorders. And so my general idea around anxiety is, so again, this conditioning and these ideas that we are given when we're born and as we grow up, you know, it's even as simple as in this family, we don't eat till 6, you know what I mean? Like whatever little rules that we have that we carry with us affects the way that we are vibrating energetically. And the law of attraction, of course, you attract what you're vibrating at. So if you're putting out, like, I'm a rigid person, I follow this, and this is what I want to do, you're going to attract those situations. Same thing with wounds. So, like, for me, I had a deep wound with abandonment and self-worth, and I didn't realize that I had that. So in college, I was attracting all these relationships that were just a nightmare. They were awful. And since I didn't truly respect myself, the people that I was attracting didn't respect me either. And obviously that created a lot of anxiety. So kind of how it goes is, in my opinion, is so if we're vibrating at a frequency that isn't ours, it's the ego's, you know, it's the conditioning, it's all the rules that we've built around ourselves, we're going to attract vibration or attract situations for that person rather than who we really are, which is the soul. So when we're attracting these two different frequencies and we're vibrating like off kilter, it's going to create some friction. And I think that that's where anxiety comes from for a lot of people, is that you're not really living for you. You're living for this other manufactured person from your conditioning and other things that you, limiting beliefs that you're carrying with you. So a lot of the times when I'm talking to people about anxiety or eating things, it's like, who are you living for? And sometimes that takes time to come really far back into, which of course, you know, takes a while. But it's worth noting that a lot of times it's an energetic disturbance, you know, and a lot of times that can manifest as chemical. And I understand because, I mean, I've been so anxious that I can't do anything. You know, I can't get out of bed. All I can do is cry. Like, I've been there. And I can look back now and see where I was vibrating in a way that isn't really who I am. And that was giving me more anxiety than I could bear, you know. So that's kind of how I take it forward now. And when I'm teaching and when I'm writing, and I just want people to know that because it's not, I think there's just a fundamental kind of, not mistake, but something that is off in the way that we're talking about anxiety and coming back to like the true self.
Absolutely. Now, where have you seeked out like your resources? Because you are on the other end of it now and you are, from my point of view, you're thriving, you're doing well, you're able to teach others what you know and what you've been through. So what are some of the resources that you turn to, whether they be like books or podcasts or people or, you know, just anything that would inspire?
Yeah, Elevate the Globe was a huge one. And I know you've had them on.
Yes, love them.
I worked with Britt and Tara before, and they're wonderful. And before that, so I had started getting into meditation just because, like, I needed some headspace. And slowly things started to open up and to shift, and I started to come back and peel off all these layers, like that I said before. And that started even with, like, I don't really like drinking. You know, there's nothing wrong with drinking, but I realized through meditation and coming back to what's real as opposed to all the things going on around me, was like, drinking is making me more anxious. Drinking is making me sad. You know, drinking is making me somebody that I don't really like. And that, again, that's different for everybody. There's nothing wrong with alcohol, but it's just for me, it didn't work. And so meditation really helped me come back and peel back all these things that were making me somebody else. So eventually, so meditation, and then I eventually, then yoga, and then I stumbled upon a podcast with Elevate the Globe and Kundalini, and I found some Kundalini practices that even further kind of opened it up and helped me, and opened my eyes to vibrations and how I was vibrating at a frequency that wasn't really serving me. So anything from Kundalini meditation, Wayne Dyer has been huge. Just people that really inspire me that I know that right from their heart as opposed to the ego. You know what I mean? So anything that is really out there to serve, which there are so many people doing so many wonderful things now. It's awesome. And they're everywhere. And I think just knowing that when you can find somebody who's heart-centered, who really understands and knows how dark it can be when you're anxious, like, I understand. Like, I know how terrible it is to feel like crippled by anxiety. And I'm not saying that it never happens anymore. Like, sometimes when I travel, I like, oh, it's so bad. It's like how it used to be. But I understand it better now. And I know that I can always come back to what's real, which is my soul.
That's beautiful. And like you said, you still go through those times, but now you know how to manage them, and you know you have the tools to be able to work through them.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And like I said, meditation, even just starting out like 5 minutes a day, and people are like, oh, I can't meditate. It's like, it takes time. Yeah. You know, you have to practice. Nobody wakes up good at meditating. Like, I still have days where I'm like, all right, well, I'm not super into it, but I mean, like, I still have times where I just, ooh, I am feeling it. And I understand now, but I don't have to attach to it. You know, like the anxiety that's coming up for me, it isn't really me. It's just trying to show me something. You know, I'm uncomfortable or it's hitting an old wound that I have yet to heal, you know. So when that comes up, I just know how to, from my meditation practice, to kind of observe it as opposed to get my spirit involved. Like in The Untethered Soul, they talk about this. He talks about this all the time, Michael Singer. And that's a life-changing book for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. And that's particularly one of them. It's like, you don't have to really engage with this stuff. So I'll get anxious, but I understand that it's just my ego and my human mind reacting to something in my human experience as opposed to what's real, which is, again, my soul. So things like that, and I can't say enough good things about The Untethered Soul.
That's so funny that you brought it up, because I have this belief that when you see something three times, that means that, you know, you're meant to pick it up, you're meant to do it, you're meant to see it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I've seen Untethered Soul like a million times. And it's literally sitting in my Amazon cart, and I'm like, oh, I just need to order it, and I haven't ordered it.
Oh, you gotta read it.
Yeah, so I feel like
you gotta read it.
You just pushed me. I'm going to order it after we chat.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I can't wait to hear what you think, because it's so good. And I gave it to my friend a few weeks ago. And she's even really gotten some things out of it. And it's so important, you know, just to be able to separate from what's going on sometimes. Because a lot of times, it's a lot.
It is. It really is. So I actually also want to touch on Kundalini, because I've only heard a couple of people talk about it. And I would just love to know, like, how you got started in it and your experience. Because I've heard, like, nothing but good things. But I've been a little bit hesitant to try it out. I don't know why. So would you like to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, that's fair. So anything with energy work can sometimes be a little, you know, scary because you don't really know. I mean, I've had as traumatic as obviously the trauma was, but I've had a kind of traumatic healing experience as well. Like, I got acupuncture when I was sick a year and a half ago, and I got, it like triggered like depression and anxiety within me, even when I was trying to heal. So anytime you're dealing with energy, you know, you have a right to be a little bit wary and like, okay, like, where do I want to put it? Because some things work for some people and some things don't.
Right.
With Kundalini, it kind of found me. So like, I listened to podcasts, and this was last October a year ago this time. And I just stumbled upon this podcast, and I And it was, there was no reason why I listened to it, but, and I just started listening to it, and then I saw that they were into Kundalini, and I just tried one. And I don't even remember the first time I tried it, but I was already pretty into meditation, so I was like, well, why don't I just, you know, move my hands and chant things? Like, what I didn't understand was that I was moving energy. So, and I did the gentle ones first, you know, because some of them are pretty intense, just like any energy work is. But when I started with the, you know, the more gentle ones and just learning how to tune in.
So, sorry to interrupt you, but how do you know that it's a gentle one?
I didn't know it was a gentle one, thank God. But the ones that aren't like the full kriyas. So a full kriya is a bunch of different movements working on a specific challenge or physical, like, you know, if you want to work on your lungs, anything like that. But I was just starting out with like meditations that were only like 12, 15 minutes, you know, so you tune in with Om Namo Gurudev Namo three times. And then you do a warm-up, which is just like breath of fire, which is just moving, you know, heating up the blood, detoxing. And then you'll do like just a meditation with breathing and then pressing your fingertips together. You know, little small things to get started, which are just more meditations as opposed to like kriyas and like yoga sequences. So once I kind of got the hang of that and understood what that was about, then I started doing like full kriyas. And again, I didn't really understand the whole science behind it. And so then I took Britt and Tara's Elevated Mastermind this summer. And every day, part of it was doing a full kriya. So that's 50 minutes every morning between 4 and 6 a.m.
Which is a little bit more intense. That's intense. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the time, I didn't even, I used to be used to really pushing myself and being great, it's time. So I just was like, perfect. This is great. Energetic, whatever. And they said, they were like, you don't understand. Like, this is work. Like, you're doing work. And I was like, yeah, I like it. It's fun. Kundalini is kind of tiring sometimes. But I didn't understand that I was actually moving through old karmic patterns and cutting all these cords and conditioning that I didn't need when I was doing this practice. So Kundalini is a really interesting thing. And I had a lot of really wonderful things happen when I was doing these kriyas. I mean, there's one for prosperity. There's one for healing emotions of the past, like you name it. And it's wonderful to really have them at your disposal to use. But then for the second month, we moved on to another kriya, and I think this one was like 40 minutes, and it was working on the heart center. And I have a lot in my heart center. Like, I've gotten a lot better, but the healing process was really difficult for me when we would work on the heart center. So, and I didn't realize that this one was focusing on that area. And I released a really dark pocket of energy. Like, I couldn't do anything but cry for like a few hours. And so what Kundalini does is it moves that energy out of you so you don't play it out in your life. So like, I had moments like that, like when I, like a few years ago, like when I just cried for months, you know? So when I was using Kundalini and this technology, like this dark pocket of energy came up, but it got released. So yeah, it can be a little scary. Like, I was pretty scared, but it was so, so valuable, and it was such an eye-opening experience to completely release that. So, yeah, again, Kundalini, you just kind of got to start slow and start with those meditations that really resonate with you. Like, I think that they'll pick you. You know, if you find one that says, like, for stress relief or clearing the subconscious mind, whatever ones you want to try, just like the meditations, and see how you feel. And then for a lot of people, you know, you just feel really good after. And again, you don't even realize that you're moving years and years of karmic patterns and doing all these wonderful things for you, your destiny, and your lineage, for that matter.
That's so cool. I love that you actually did it from home, too, through their mastermind program. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So I have to ask you, did you have to, like, sage your room before or after you practiced? Or were there any, you know, traditions or tools or anything that you did to kind of, I don't know if they set the mood, but you know what I'm trying to get at, like kind of lay the foundation of your practice?
Yeah, well, definitely, again, with anything with energy, you know, you kind of have to be careful and protect that. And when I first started, I didn't really understand that. So when I had that really deep pocket release of energy, I didn't really fully get it yet. So I don't really sage things. I use Palo Santo.
Okay, yeah.
But Kasa is a little bit more gentle, and I just like more gentle things. so So I'll call those thoughts, but when I feel like I've really released something or there's just been like some build up inside, you know, or I feel really good after I'll Palo, I'll like burn some Palo Santo. Just make sure to kind of smooth the vibe, if you will. And a lot of times I'll imagine myself in a white bubble of light, you know, just protecting me, protecting my energy as I move it. And that's kind of my only big ritual. Just anytime that I feel like I'm calling for it, it's like, okay. And also, Kundalini is a primarily masculine practice. And I'm in this lifetime, in this world, we live in a really masculine kind of paradigm. So I'm really trying to make sure that I'm balancing that out with more feminine practices, too. I recently started doing more yoga nidras, which is like a feminine kind of counterbalance to masculine practices like Kundalini and sitting up meditation. So yeah, just making sure that I'm balancing it and making sure that I'm taking care of both sides of my brain, if that makes sense, is really important to me.
Absolutely. And it's so interesting that you've really used all of these tools and healing modalities to, you know, this far on your journey. So just to wrap things up, like what are you doing today? Like, what is your goal? What is your goal for the future? And just how do you see yourself serving, since you've been chatting a little bit about that?
Yeah, I just really want to write from my heart space. You know, I don't want to write to please anyone. I want to write the things that I know will help. And I want to help as many people as I can who struggle with these type of things and who are questioning things that are going on in their life and don't know how to kind of transcend them. And I just want to be an ally for people who feel like they don't have anyone, because I've been there. And I want people to know that I'm like there's always somebody who's willing to help you. And there's so many things that are available and at your fingertips all the time. So I really, again, want to be writing more and speaking more on these issues and things and ways that I can serve and can help with anxiety, eating disorders, whatever it is, and finding these modalities and giving it to the people who need them in an accessible way. It's kind of my biggest takeaway. And that's kind of the next step, is writing more about this stuff and helping people with their, you know, with their different struggles in life, and making sure that they, again, have the tools to move through them, to break the patterns, and to live their destiny and from their soul, rather than the society and what the ego kind of demands of them. Because I just know that it's a much more fulfilled life. And I know that, you know, we hear the story all the time of the person who has everything, the cars, the money, whatever, and it's just not enough. And instead of getting to that point and then realizing it, like, let's align first. Like, let's align together and move from that space instead.
So where can everybody find you? Where can they contact you? Give them all the details.
Yeah, so my name is Paige Pitchler, so I'm Paige or Pitch on Instagram, so PaigeRrPich, my Instagram, and I also have a writing website called watermelontea.com. There's an Instagram for that as well, so you can kind of reach out to me on either of those, and yeah, read my writing online, and hopefully really help with anxiety and any kind of body image things that people are going through.
So I do have one last question for you. And I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, you're going to hate my answer.
Oh, no. Do you not drink it?
I don't. I know. I really wanted to like it. I just, like, I don't know what it is. My stomach is so weird. But I wanted to like it so bad. But I do different types of probiotics. Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries. We'll hold it against you.
Right?
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your journey. It was beautiful, and I know that it's really going to help a lot of people.
Thank you so much, Erica. Thank you so much for all that you do, too.